Welcome back to What's the Tea with Katie. Today, the topic brewing is politics on our segment called Pro-Life Jeopardizing Black Life. We are going to talk about how the overturning of Roe v. Wade will discriminate not only against Black women, but their children too. Roe v. Wade was a case that made women's rights to abort a federal law. However, with the swearing in of Judge Amy Coney Barrett for Supreme Court Justice, her history of shutting down abortion rights puts the case in jeopardy. I spoke with Fatima Hayward, the Reproductive Justice and Community Partnerships Manager at Planned Parenthood, Northern, Central, and Southern New Jersey. She told me how the current administration had already begun dismantling their ability to provide proper reproductive care.
The governor and the state legislators signed a bill at the very beginning of this year to provide funding to family planning providers like Planned Parenthood who were forced out of the federal Title X program. Now, this program's goal was to ensure that access to care didn't depend on your income, but the Trump-Pence administration rolled out some restrictive new rules that gagged providers and the program from being able to get their patients full information about their options for care.
Black women in the U.S. have an abortion rate 5 times higher than that for white women, according to the Guttmacher Institute. The CDC found 36% of abortions in 2014 were obtained by Black women. As they only make up 14% of the childbearing population, that number is significantly large and draws a lot of criticism. But no one talks about why the rates are so high for such a small population. Black women sit at the bottom of the socioeconomic pyramid. They are 62% likely to live in poverty, as reported by the Brookings Institution. Without enough money to support oneself, being expected to efficiently support a child is unreasonable, which may result in the termination of a pregnancy. Lexi White, Senior Policy Manager at In Our Own Voice, National Black Women's Reproductive Justice Agenda, offered some details on the issue.
We also continue to make less than 63 cents to the dollar that white men make in this country. And so, you know, in thinking about our reproductive rights, we have to consider our own economic security that impacts our futures as well as our ability raise children.
Some Black women who struggle economically also lack a place to sleep. Whether as a result of family violence or mass incarceration snatching Black fathers away from their families, Black mothers often end up on the street, and with their babies too. Sometimes, Black women can't have babies for healthcare reasons. Black women are more susceptible to heart disease, diabetes, and even cystic fibrosis. Reverend Dr. Stacey Edwards Dunn, founder and president of Fertility for Colored Girls, gave some input on conditions that stifle Black women's ability to have a healthy pregnancy.
I think one of the things that impacts us most is this issue of fibroids. As Black women experience fibroids at 7 and 8 times higher rates than any other ethnicity, we're also diagnosed with fibroids at younger ages. And so I think those things impact our fertility. On top of that, we also have higher rates of diabetes, high blood pressure. And sometimes, you know, even one of the issues we have is that, you know, we find ourselves being overweight.
Not only is paying for treatment difficult, but receiving care that doesn't put their lives in jeopardy due to racially biased evaluations.
It becomes very important that medical providers and providers in general, that they have cultural sensitivity training, that they meet African-American patients as well as other women of color where they are, that they listen to them.
Fatima Hayward also made a good point about access to quality health care.
Just in general, understanding the needs are different. Everyone does not have the same needs. Being able to hear what those needs may be, what they may have access to, those resources in whatever community that these Black mothers may reside in, and ensuring that they have those same resources, because a lot of times those resources may not exist.
Suggest a Black woman with pre-existing conditions becomes sick while pregnant. In anti-abortion states, she'd be forced to give birth to a stillborn baby if she had birth complications. From another point of view, what if a woman was raped? A CDC study found about 3 million women in the U.S. experience rape-related pregnancies in their lifetime. It is difficult to balance trauma on top of pre- and postpartum depression without proper access to therapy. Black women are also young when it happens. one in four Black girls will be sexually assaulted before the age of 18. Since slavery, Black women have borne the burden of pregnancy as a result of rape. Rape-related pregnancies are what produced our first generations of mixed children, though they were still treated as lesser because they were half Black. Ms. Edwards Dunn gave her point of view of slavery's impact on Black women's reproductive health.
You know, just our unique existence and how we got here to, you know, North America as well as to the Caribbean, and the breeding myths that exist around our fertility and reproductive health, and how our fertility and reproductive health was used as a way to expand this economy.
Now let's discuss what happens to Black children once they're born into a world that lacks determination to keep them alive. The alternative to abortion is either keeping the baby or putting the baby up for adoption. As of 2011, Black children only made 9% of adoptions, and generally tend to wait over 39 months to be adopted, the longest amount of time compared to other racial groups. Black youth are also less likely to live in a home with a parent or guardian. 83% of them are at risk of being homeless. Ms. White touched on how environmental factors can jeopardize the health of Black children.
We have to also consider a number of environmental factors at play, right? The neighborhoods we live in, whether we have access to safe drinking water, whether, you know, we might be raising children in communities that are disproportionately impacted by state-sanctioned violence, for example.
Systematic racism has disenfranchised Black mothers by taking away their right to decide what they do with their bodies and putting their health and the health of their children at risk.
And we know that that right can only be achieved when communities that are most impacted by reproductive oppression, and that includes Black women and girls, have the complete economic, social, and political power and resources to make healthy decisions for themselves.
Anti-abortion laws are fought for in belief babies deserve to live past birth. However, how can laws fight to protect unborn Black babies, but not born Black babies? Leave a comment and let me know what you think. I'll catch you next time. Special thanks to Free Sound, the CDC, the National Network for Youth, the Guttmacher Institute, and the Brookings Institution.